book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 14. Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end man should find nothing after him. God's people often are not the best judges of prosperity or adversity. The worldling rejoices when everything seems to go well for him. Like the beasts around, he has no thought of anything beyond this poor dying world. Some of God's people have been spiritually most prosperous when things naturally around them have been most trying and most distressing. On the other hand, in the end, that scripture must be true of all God's people, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Some of God's people have not seemed to enjoy very much prosperity in their souls. Some of them have not had very much prosperity in the things of this life. You take the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man fared sumptuously, had everything his heart could wish for. Doesn't seem that the poor beggar had any outward prosperity, but he had inward prosperity. And that's the best prosperity, my friends, that we can possibly have. For it came to pass that when the beggar died, he was carried by angels into Abram's bosom. There is spiritual prosperity. And when a child of God receives this, it is a time of rejoicing with him. The dear Lord Jesus said, if these should hold their peace, the very stones would cry out. Mercy to being able to look back, feel you've had a few days of spiritual prosperity. That is prosperity when the dear Holy Spirit, by his grace, enables us to mourn over our sins. That is prosperity when the Holy Spirit puts prayer in our hearts for God's rich and sovereign mercy. That is prosperity, when we feel ourselves poor lost sinners, feel our great need of a Saviour, but God's dear people, when passing through these seasons, do not look upon it as being prosperous, but afterwards, when the Holy Spirit shines sweetly upon the past, who aren't God's people thankful? Their little religion had a good beginning. They didn't take up with it themselves. They didn't start it like a good many people do. Favor to feel. God commends that work in you and in me. For we read the words of the apostle, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. As I say, doesn't seem this is prosperity. You've been singing about the good physician. Well, these are the people who need the good physician, who feel the malady of sin. A nominal Christ will do for others, but these want the balm of Gilead applied to their poor hearts. It's prosperity when the Lord raises a hope in our hearts. May not have that full assurance of faith, but to feel our poor prayers have reached heaven. To have a little hope, the time will come when we shall read our title clear to a mansion in the skies. Well, you know, in the heart of this sinner, more joy, more pleasure than the ungodly have when their corn and their wine increase. There is. We had a little of this joy, little of this prosperity. Felt your poor, weak, sin-stained prayers have reached heaven. It's a day of prosperity when the Lord comes and pardons one's sins. It's a day of prosperity, you know, with that woman in Simon's house. Simon didn't know anything about the matter. He was a total stranger to it. There was a poor woman, a sinner. She wanted pardon. She had faith to believe. There was one on earth who could pardon her sins. She found out where he was. You ever been able to find out where Jesus is? Well, you say he is in heaven, that is true. But a mercy it is to feel he is there as your mediator. Well, this woman, she found him. We read he could not be hid. Many a poor thing found him. But he said to this woman, go in peace, thy sins be forgiven thee. What a day of prosperity. Season of prosperity. She would never forget it. She might never have another blessing just like that. But that would stand out. We don't get signal blessings every day. No. You read the old patriarchs. They didn't get a blessing every day. But my friends, the Lord's blessing lasts. It makes rich. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow therewith. So when he comes, pardons one's sins, grants that sweet forgiveness. When he says, like he did to the man they let down through the roof, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Time of prosperity. A time of rejoicing. A time of thanksgiving. David says, forget not all his benefits. When David felt some of these flow into his heart, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It's a time of prosperity when the dear Holy Spirit restores us. Time of rejoicing. You think of the prodigal. Wandered a long way off. Began to be in want. And then he thought of home. He had an empty stomach. No man gave to him. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him in rags and tatters, ran to meet him, embraced him, kissed him, said, bring forth the best robe. I think if ever anybody felt ashamed of themselves, he did. And if anybody felt humbled, had a sense of a father's goodness, that young fellow did. Oh, haven't some of you felt this restoration? David said, he restoreth my soul. And that's a time of rejoicing with God's dear people. Some of us may feel the need it tonight. That divine restoration, that gracious reviving, may not last long, but there are times of rejoicing with the dear people of God. And it has been a time of rejoicing with some, as they draw near their journey's end, feel how precious is their heavenly friend. When that glorious prospect has laid before them, someone asked one of our old ministers as he was dying how he felt. And he said, I am too weak for joy, but I haven't a doubt. That was rejoicing, wasn't it? That was peace. That was calm within when facing that last great enemy. So mercy. You have a little religion, there's a little rejoicing in it. The Lord making our hearts glad because of his work. My mind did go when I commenced to Paul and Silas, they good, faithful ministers of the Lord Jesus, preach a good gospel. He got thrown into prison for it. But time of prosperity. That was a time of rejoicing. Why? Because the Lord sanctified it. They're feeding stocks. Their poor backs bleeding. I should have thought, and you would have thought naturally, and you would have said, this is a hard lot. This is a costly business. Suffering like this through preaching. Ah, but the dear Lord sanctified it to them. What did they do? They sung his praises. Blessed his name. They had more rejoicing after that. When the jailer had that earthquake in his soul, came to them wanting to know what he must do to be saved. It was time of rejoicing. And we read of those seasons of rejoicing that some of the Lord's servants had and suffered the loss of all things. One said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but dung, that I may win Christ, be found in him. Well, you say you better leave the subject there, not go any further. But you see, he goes further. But in the day of adversity, consider. On the top of our first hymn tonight was one word, and it was that word, tribulation. I may have told you before, but I was thinking about it before coming to chapel, reading in an old book once about that word, tribulation. And the original meaning is a flail, and that means to separate. Some of us perhaps remember seeing a flail used in some of the old black barns, the best of the corn gathered into them, and the flail, two pieces of wood joined together, one piece came down hard upon the corn, didn't hurt it, but it separated it from the chaff, and that's exactly why the Lord sends adversity, tribulation, into the lot of his dear people to separate the chaff from them. Chaff is no good. Got no weight in it. Got no life in it. It's dead. But we by nature may carry a lot of this, But the Lord sends adversity, sends tribulation to separate the wheat from the chaff. You read in the Revelation of those who've got safely home. These are they came up out of great tribulation, and they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Read the 11th of Hebrews tonight before you go to bed once more. What do you find there? God's people had much adversity, had much tribulation, but the Lord sends this for a good purpose in the experiences of His dear people. I was thinking, coming along this morning, what good old Rutherford wrote. He said, the flowers need night's cold darkness, sunshine and the dew. Wouldn't be well, even for the little flowers, to have all sunshine. The roots would soon weaken. Little plants are refreshed by the night season, very often by the dew that falls. So it is with the Lord's dear people. He sees fit that they should have, as our text says, a day of adversity. We aren't the best judges of these days of adversity. We sometimes think, you know, at least I've thought, it's getting along much better without this ballast, without these trials, without these afflictions and crosses. But the Lord knows best. I nearly read that chapter tonight in Genesis, where the old patriarch Jacob said, all these things are against me. Joseph is not. You will take away Benjamin. Everything seemed against him. Poor old Jacob. They were not really against him. No, like we poor things, he's rather up against them. So we may be like him sometimes. But the Lord has a gracious purpose in it. One thing, these days of adversity will break down our independent spirits. We are independent, or would be if we could, by nature. But the Lord may send us such adversity, put us in such a corner, we can't get out. May bring us, like he did the psalmist, to the very ends of the earth. There's a gracious purpose in it. To break down his independent spirit. Job was a good man, upright man, one that eschewed evil. He got a tiny bit of self-righteousness about him. When he was severely tried, he said some things, very unwise things, and I'm not throwing stones against Job, but the Lord had a very gracious purpose in all this. Job must be emptied of his self-righteousness. He must have the work of grace deepened in his heart. When the Lord spoke to him, when the Lord showed him what was in his heart, the good man said, "Behold, I am vile, one of the best places on earth, one of the safest places for a poor sinner." When they really feel that, Job said, "I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I repent, dust and ashes." What happened? The Lord turned his captivity. The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. Whether we like it or not, there's very much pride in our hearts. One of our hymn writers says, "My poverty and pride." You may depend that was he was true. Person needn't have a lot of the things of this world to be proud. Poor old tramp might be proud. Without 5p in his pocket, he might. There's pride in all our hearts. Can't get rid of it. Against it preach. Prompts the speech. Be silent. Still it is there. Now the Lord may send us season of adversity. May cross his hands, as it were. Things may seem to go against us. And all this to humble us. We shouldn't be any better than others. If everything we did prospered, no. We might soon forget the Lord, like poor Ephraim did. We might grow fat and kick, but the Lord sends us adversity. Lord's hand seems to go out against us. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon said, "If the Lord be with us, then why has all this befallen us? Where be the miracles which our fathers told us of?" But the Lord was with him. And though you may have adversity, I didn't mean to say the Lord isn't with you. Doesn't mean to say the Lord has forsaken you. Not by any means. And so he brings us by his grace to consider things. Think things over prayerfully. We may find, as we consider things, our heart was wandering far from the Lord. One of our ministers now in heaven, he had very much to do. And he said he hadn't time to preach in the week. The Lord said to him, I'll find you time. The Lord did find him time. In a very solemn way, yet he sanctified it to the dear man. He did indeed. So the Lord brings us to consider things, think things over, to weigh things up. One good man, in his consideration, said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. God's considering house is a very profitable house. He brings Hezekiah into it. The good man was sick unto death. That'd pull you up. Pull me up, wouldn't it? Couldn't do anything. No. The Lord gives Isaiah a message. He says, you go and tell Hezekiah. Put his house in order. Thou shalt die and not live. I've thought sometimes, you know, what a solemn word that was to the good king. But that brought him to consider things, turned his face to the wall and wept. Said, O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And the Lord heard his prayers. Now I've often said, trouble and adversity itself will never make us pray. No, will harden us rather, make us rebellious, make us kick against the Lord's dispensations. But let the Lord come. Answer prayer. Appear for us and ours. We shall feel it was good to have been afflicted. Good to have had these trials. You take the case of Joseph. Seemed a day of adversity with him, didn't it? He obeys his father, who's to see of the welfare of his brethren. Well, they said, here comes a dreamer. We'll get rid of him. Enmity, jealousy, pride in our hearts. Band of Ishmaelites comes along, they sell him. Goes into Egypt. Upright, godly young man. One that feared God and eschewed evil. Because of his sincerity and uprightness, he's thrown into prison. Everything must have seemed against him. We read in one of the Psalms, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. That word he had as a young lad, when he had that remarkable dream, but it tried him. Everything seemed to go against him. But oh, how wonderfully the Lord worked, didn't he? Methinks, afterwards, he and his old father had things over, they would see how necessary the adversity was. Days of trial. We don't know the worth of anything naturally until we prove it. We read in one of the epistles, prove all things. Solemn word. That's where we know the worth of anything. Where we know the worth of a minister. In proving him. In finding that what he preaches conveyed home with power to our hearts by his entering experimentally into our case. My dear friends, that's how we come to know the Lord. Malachi we read, prove me now, saith the Lord. And it's in adversity very often. That is, dear people, prove him. Haven't you proved him? You may have been up to your necks in trouble. Couldn't see any way out. And sometimes in my little life when I couldn't see any way out. And yet, I do feel this trouble, affliction, cross providence, losses, tribulations, persecutions will never do us any harm whilst we can pray over them. So dear Lord, help us to pray. In the end, shall prove its profitable consideration in the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. Consider your state, my state. Consider what we were doing. Consider how we were going. Getting perhaps forgetful of God. Martha-like, careful and troubled about many things. But oh my dear friends, we can humbly consider things. And if these things do humble us, they bring us to Jesus' feet. They make us increasingly feel what poor sinners we are. Shall find it profitable adversity. Then there is that adversity of soul deep within. Paul knew it. He could say, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. But his old nature wasn't changed. Old Saul of Tarsus still there. Paul knew it. When Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple, he prayed for those that should know the plague of their own heart. These people take these things often as being against them. But you see, they bring us off the flesh, bring us off the creature. We find, at least I find, I've got nothing to trust to of my own. Some of you find the same. My dear friends, the more you're brought off these things, the easier it will be for you when you come to your journey's end. It will. So what a favor to be brought to gracious, spiritual, prayerful consideration. Not to get out of the trouble at once, the adversity at once, but pray the Lord may bring you out of it, show you a way out of it. And he will. I like the last verse in Psalm 107. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord in prosperity and in adversity. Just one more thing before I close. I was thinking of those words in Hebrews. If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. That's a solemn word. Means not real. Not real children. One of our good ministers, and I knew him well, he had a good many days of adversity. And I heard him say this once, he could prove his sonship with God as much through sanctified trouble as anything. Now what a mercy if we are not without this adversity, if we are not without this chastening. If we know a little of the Lord's goodness and mercy in it, blessing it to us, weaning us from self and from the world, drawing us nearer to himself. One wrote, sweet affliction that lays me low at Jesus' feet. You may depend that is true. Well, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider. The Lord has set the one over against the other. You and I can't make the crooked straight. The rough place is plain. No. The older we grow, the more dependent we feel to be upon the Lord. May he bless these few things. Amen.
Must it, Lord, be so? exist at all, as God is in it. Boast not, ye sons of earth, nor look with scornful eyes above your highest nerve, how sad